Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild time in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Yanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by Eric Wayne. Eric, good to be talking to you again. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm terrific. Life is good. I'm just living the dream every day, Jordan.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're quite the softball professional at this point.
Yeah, we did play some softball last night. You know, we got to play some church league softball, mix it up. And we won the first game. I got a big hit. It was fun, which is rare because I'm not that good. But yeah, it was good times.
Big hit. You're Giancarlo Stanton all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah. Flexing the guns.
Yeah.
It's powerhouse of recreational softball.
So it was an interesting weekend for me also.
Yes.
As you guys may have seen on my Twitter feed on Sunday, I was at the NASCAR. My brother-in-law works at the track. So he's able to swing us free tickets, got to go down in the pits, walk on the track, then, you know, watch him drive hard and turn left and all that stuff. It was like I don't mean to say any of this to disparage NASCAR, because I completely get the misunderstood thing that everyone hates, as in, you know, being a soccer fan. But it was interesting. I've never been a NASCAR guy, but it was actually really cool to, like, be on the track and see how, like, steep the bank is. It was kind of wild.
Mm-hmm. They say that along with hockey, NASCAR is one of the things that you really need to experience in person to really get the full effect. Like, if you're watching on TV, it's one thing, but the sights, the smells, especially the noise at a NASCAR race is impressive.
Yeah, it was extremely loud. We had to
we
got ourselves the little ear things that go in. Although I have to admit that I was about 150 laps of 200 in before I had mine in my ears properly. So it was a loud race for me.
You got to roll the little sponges. Is that what you had?
I tried. Yeah.
You got to roll.
I tried rolling. I tried squishing
don't pinch.
Them.
You roll.
It was a bloodbath, definitely. But it is very loud. I think I would have needed a little bit more backstory to it. Like, I know that there's teams and there's strategy, but to me, watching it just looked like zoom, zoom, zoom. Like, oh, fast car, fast car, fast car, fast car. And, you know, it was extremely impressive. I didn't necessarily come away thinking, all right, I'm a NASCAR guy now. But it was a really interesting experience. What I came away from it big time with was that it was elite level people watching.
It was
probably the highest per capita ponytail event I've ever been to. Just man ponytails everywhere. I had on my American flag bandana as one does going to NASCAR, and on the Patriot scale of like 1 to 100, I was like a 6. It only went more patriotic from where I was at. I think I sent you the picture. There was a guy wearing a button down that had Mount Rushmore on the front, which
I did see that was
good.
Yeah.
There was the guy that had on American flag pants. I mean, I think
a kind of a beefy big dude.
He was not small.
Right. He reminded me of the Rex Kwando guy from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
And but he was kind of pudgy, so to me he was Rex Kwan Donut. So
definitely. And also I thought it was really funny. So the game was, or the, excuse me, the race was on, was broadcast on NBCSN. Well, you know what comes on prior to NASCAR on NBCSN? That would be the Man United game. So in all of the various TVs and all the pits and stuff, they had this, you know, the commie kickball on, which I thought was really funny. I'm sure that the tire changers were super thrilled about watching that before the race. But it was a cultural experience. It was something that I would not necessarily choose to do again, but I don't know, kind of an interesting thing to have experienced once.
If I had a friend from Britain or Europe or something come and hang out and said, you know, show me America, tell me what America is like, teach me your ways, I'm like, all right, put your coat on, we're going to NASCAR race.
Okay, so let's transition to baseball, because I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is a baseball podcast.
Are we supposed to talk about Tigers? We'll
get there
at some point.
Don't worry. But last week, the MLB released their Players Weekend gear, which gives players a chance to wear a nickname on the back of their jerseys for the weekend. Each team took a slightly new, though not completely out of the box, take on their color scheme. Essentially, it's more gear for us all to buy. Let's be honest. That's what it is. Let's start with the cap. It's very orange, and there is a tiger on the front, not the old English D. What did you think about it?
Well, the tiger face itself, I think, is the same tiger face that's used in the Comerica Park logo. It's been around. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the modern take. It's not the coked out tiger, you know, with the big bug eyes. It's a modern take. It's pretty cool. I don't mind that tiger. Mm-hmm. But it's here in a new context, and yes, in electric orange.
Yeah, that definitely.
I don't mind it.
Feels.
I like it.
I was really like when I first saw it, I was kind of from a distance, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's awesome, because I've always wanted, like, you know, when you have a navy blue hat, you feel weird wearing that with like a black shirt, you know, because black and navy blue. Whereas if you had, you know, bright orange and blue, that could essentially go with anything. And then I got close. I'm like,
I'm writing this down, you know, from a real fashion guy.
Yeah, this is style tips with Jordan.
Thank you.
Yeah, you should all be jotting this down real quick. But it is so bright. It's one of those, like, that's what I'm wearing. Well, what other people would wear to go hunting in, so as to not get shot.
Like Tennessee Volunteer orange.
Yeah, even like, that would have been a little bit better.
That would have been nice. I would have liked a nice, you know, Tennessee Volunteer colored orange. You know, just the Tigers. I mean, but yeah, this was pretty intense.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. It is very intense. Yeah. But I won't be purchasing, but I wasn't a million miles away from pulling the trigger. They're also like $40, so that was kind of a prohibitive factor.
Nah.
They also released the nicknames that the players had chosen to wear on their backs. There was some interesting ones. Did you have any best or worst Tigers nicknames chosen?
My favorite is Castellanos, because I just imagine them telling him, say, hey, you have to pick a nickname. And he's like, I have to pick a nickname. And they're like, yeah. So he picked Nick because he needed a nickname. Yeah. I just imagine that's how it's going.
I definitely can't see it being going down any other way. Like, that definitely feels like Nick to me. And I don't know.
But there wasn't a lot of real awesome ones.
No.
There was a whole collection of nicknames around the film Step Brothers. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen the film, so I'm not in with the cool people joke. But I guess Alex and Justin Wilson, before Justin was traded, had picked the names of the two stepbrothers because their last name is both Wilson.
Yeah, Dale is the John C. Reilly character, and Brennan is Will Ferrell. And then there's a sequence where they're discussing, you know, my name's Dale, but you can. I think Dale says that he can tells Brennan that you can call him Dragon, and then Brennan tells Dale that he can call him Nighthawk, which is
and Matuk.
Mikey Matuk's, yeah. Yeah, it's very, very funny. I thought that was probably the best of it. I like Shaner too. I don't really see people calling Shane Green Shaner, but I kind of like it. I think I'll start calling him that. I don't.
There was some I didn't get like at all. It's probably just inside jokes or whatever, because Kinsler is like Bootsy.
We watched the majority of the games, and I've never heard that.
We're smart people, Jordan. Yeah. We know things, and we didn't know Bootsy.
No. I didn't like Robomb. Bromine is right there. Just use it. Yeah. What did you think of Foam Piece? That's the other one I have written down. I thought that
foam
was
piece.
Foam Piece. Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I'm not loving it.
No, I did like JV and Jay-Z because Jay-Z also sounds like a rapper. His name is Jay-Z.
I know who Jay-Z is. Just because I didn't know who Big Sean was doesn't mean I didn't know who Jay-Z is.
I don't know where your rap knowledge comes down. I know you know Eminem. That's the one definite here.
It ends in about 2007.
Okay, fair enough.
It's kind of where I'm at.
That gives me a good time frame. I can work with that. Okay, this brings us to this week's leadoff question. What nickname would you put on the back of your Players Weekend jersey?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I will say that I thought about it would be funny if some relief pitcher put fungible on the back, you know, like easily exchangeable. That's kind of the joke with Saber guys about the relief pitchers. I don't know, maybe I'd pick sensual lover, something like that, you know, just to make everything a little awkward and, you know, let the ladies know, you know, got soft hands.
I definitely think that would make things a little awkward. For mine, I actually didn't want letters. Just give me like 4 fire emojis. I think that would probably do it.
Use emojis on a, I'm sure you want your license plate to be a fire emojis.
I can't get that. Can you? We're no more than 5 years away from being able to have emojis on license plates. And that's when civilization will reach its peak. Then it'll be all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get into the contact info, let's talk a little fantasy football. One more week. I believe we have one spot left in the Listener Fantasy Football League. If you want to compete against Eric and I and all the other listeners from around this great state and country, send us an email at podcastianos@gmail.com with your name, Twitter handle if you have one. And amuse us. Give us a brief explanation of why you should be in the league. I've read all of the ones so far. They've all been very funny. Appreciate you taking the time to do that. You know, add a little spice to our dull lives. And yeah, I think we need one more. So be very funny or be very quick, because there's one spot left. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at PodcastIanos. On the Instagram, my fire emoji account is at Jordinho4, JORDINHO, and then number 4. Facebook.com/podcastianos, and we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And I have a sad announcement. We didn't have any fun or any reviews from last week, so we have nothing to read out. But if you leave us a review, make it amusing. You can roast Eric in it, and I'll read it out the following week, and we'll all have a good time with it.
Yeah, just roast me. Jordan's a little sensitive.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Especially since the NASCAR incident. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So as we mentioned previously, Eric and I were at the game on Saturday. In between the various autograph requests and the meetings with Al Avila, we were actually treated to a really good, fun game. The one thing that we both took away was the crowd atmosphere. It was just unreal.
It was unreasonably excited. Now, I guess we're more, you know, we are sophisticated, you know, intelligent baseball fans. You know, we know that we shouldn't be having fun at this game. We know that the Tigers are no longer going to be winning the World Series and are probably no longer in contention for any kind of playoff spot.
That is the only thing we can derive joy from.
Yes. Them, the plebs. The peons are out there enjoying the baseball game, but us, we are sophisticated and smart and had lower levels of enjoyment, obviously, because we are informed.
Yes. I think it just shows the fighting spirit of Detroit. I think you can extrapolate a lot from that.
Yeah. People were charged up. They stayed. We were down by 4 runs, I believe, at one stage, middle to late through the game. Are we?
I think the real turning point was when the drunk lady in front of us informed the batter that the pitcher didn't have a fancy word for poop. And then it turned out that he didn't, and J-Up hit the walk-off.
True.
It was like she was a soothsayer.
She just communicated her vision from the 200 level, where I'm sure it went right into the pitcher's ears.
We weren't in the 300 level with all those scrubs. Yeah, no.
Everything 200. In moderation. Yep. It's a good Calvinist.
Yeah, J-Up hit the walk-off. It was a lot of fun. The crowd definitely deserved it. I'm not sure we did, but the crowd definitely did.
It was – people were excited. Everybody, like I said, everybody stayed. It was loud. We were rewarded to a pretty good game. At first, I thought it was going to be kind of a stinker. We were giving up all these runs, but we clawed back. At one point, I looked at Jordan. I'm like, we're really not that far out of this. And back we came.
Yeah, there was one great point where I was trying to determine how many more runs need to be scored before Romine was getting on the hill. Which,
that's right,
that would have been a different outcome that also would have been excellent. I mean, winning on a walk-off was great. Seeing Romine on the hill would have been a different kind of great.
Mm-hmm. But we did still give up 11 runs in that game.
If you score 12, you can give up to 11, and it's still fine. That's stats.
That's math.
But this specific game was so much more than just a game. It was Fiesta Tigres.
My favorite comment was the dancers were on the field, and we walk up there, and Jordan glances at the dancers, and he goes, "Wow, they're really going at it." Yeah, you got their dance going.
Yeah, they did not have their dance going. I was there for Fiesta Tigres last year, randomly. This was your first experience, correct?
You know, I think I've actually been to Fiesta Tigres one time before, but I think it's been 3 or 4 years ago.
Gotcha. What were your thoughts?
I love it. I think it's really cool to highlight the Latin players. They introduced them special beforehand with kind of their place of birth, their native country. They have the flags on the field. And I think just for the average fan, it is still a good way to remind people and open up the eyes to say, hey, it's a global game. And these guys are coming to a land that's not their first home, and they're figuring it out. And they do some things in Spanish, as far as introductions. Omar Vizquel ran down the introductions, and just hearing these guys speak Spanish, I highly recommend. There was an interview a while back with Miguel Cabrera, and it's in Spanish. Even if you don't understand Spanish, watch him being interviewed in Spanish, because a lot of the things about that you think about Miguel Cabrera, you know, he's the superstar, and he seems a little bit aloof, or sometimes not very smooth, or not really eager and engaging to speak with media. A lot of that evaporates when he's being interviewed in Spanish. It's much more fluid. He's much more engaged. And if you think about it, it makes total sense. Here's a guy speaking his second language. He learned on the fly. And I just always think that that kind of context is good. Now, you know, I spend a week a year in Latin America. It's not a lot. But if you start thinking about some of what these guys have gone through, I think it just gives you a new perspective.
Yeah. And Mickey's a guy who's been here for, 15 years at this point. Imagine some of the younger kids that are just coming through. I was actually thinking about it a little bit today at work. I think that the Latino population in baseball is subjected to the largest culture shift of any population in American sports. Like, you have small pockets of European, you know, basketball players, hockey players that come over. Many of them already speak English. Most of them are grown men, typically established in like their local, domestic league. Some of them are often well paid. A lot of these Latinos come to America knowing very little English. They're young, differing economic backgrounds. It is such a massive, massive culture shift.
Yep. I'm going to recommend two movies on this topic. And the first one that you have to see is a 2008 film called Sugar. It's that one. That film is fictional. It's a drama, but it shows a guy from Dominican Republic coming to play in the Midwest League, something we're kind of familiar with. And it really dramatizes some of the real life stories that guys had about trying to order some food and just get through the cultural shift. It's a really cool movie, so I recommend that.
And the other one?
The other one is a documentary. It features Miguel Sano, who we saw play just now for the Twins. And that is a real documentary. He's one of two guys from the Dominican Republic that is followed. It talks about kind of the academy scene and especially the drama around age and birth certificates and getting a legitimate age on these guys, because sometimes they'll be older and pose as younger players to try to increase their draft stock. Pelotero is the name of that movie. So Pelota is the ball. So ball player is Pelotero. So, you gotta watch that movie. It'll give you a whole new perspective on Miguel Sano. Miguel Sano looks like just a fully grown man who appeared, you know, and just crushes home runs. No, it's not that way. You gotta watch the movie.
Now, I'm given to know if you open up a ball player, you can just count the rings and determine how old they are. Is that correct?
Well, the process is like super thorough. They go to the government and they try to figure out which ones are forged and which ones are not. And they say Miguel Sano's date of birth was one of the most scrutinized documents pick your favorite American ball player. I mean, their birth certificate isn't looked twice at and probably don't even see. I mean, they claim it on some form someplace and, well, okay, that's what it is. But Sano got a lot of attention. You know, there's still questions like Albert Pujols. How old is he? And maybe some of that's legitimate, but they certainly got a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, I want to go back to the sugar kind of storyline about his lack of acclimatization to America. I feel like I remember hearing a story about Levon Hernandez when he first got here. He essentially was just smashing McDonald's like every single day, and he ended up, you know, you remember Levon, he was a big guy, and how some of the very basic things that you would associate with life in America, they just don't have any experience with, and they essentially need somebody to, you know, just explain some things to them, and a lot of times they don't have that. And I don't know if this is actually along this vein or if it's just a funny story, but apparently there was one week last year where Yoan Moncada ate 220 Twinkies in one week.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if that's, you know, him, you know, needing help acclimatizing to America or just really digging
just
Twinkies.
Likes Twinkies,
but
yeah.
I feel like it really that struggle goes so underappreciated. You know, obviously nobody has an easy path getting to the big leagues. Like, you know, you have to be wildly talented, put in extreme, you know, hard work and still catch breaks. But I think it makes it easier for me to root for a guy like Candelario or Paredes to make it to the big leagues. You know, obviously I don't know their backgrounds, but just kind of on the whole. And it makes it easier for me to cut them some slack. Like, if you're if you can hit and if you can run and you can hit home runs, all of a sudden people kind of forget the fact that there is a human being with thoughts and emotions inside your head. And, you know, taking all that into account, it makes it a little easier. You know, if somebody goes through a slump or maybe gets picked off second, but, you know, something like that, you can think, all right, you know, I'm giving them a pass this one time.
Right. Well, and there's the cultural acclimatization, but then there's also like, they're nowhere near home. They're worried about their families. They're not seeing their families. It's hard for them to come and visit. The guys from Venezuela, thinking about all the riots and political unrest that's happening in their country, they're worried about their families. There's a lot going on there. I respect these guys a lot.
Yeah, Mickey said that he would be concerned for his life going back to his native country. Like, just think about that. Like, that is so such an immense thing. You know, we wonder, you know, he has, you know, we look at him and you think, you know, maybe Miggy's hurt. I think some of the physical, you know, the mental strain that is, when you're so embroiled in something like that, it does have physical ramifications. And, you know, not hitting for as much power, like, I think you know, it's obviously a little bit convoluted, but I think you can draw some lines from one to the other.
We are relational and emotional creatures. and it is part of who we are as people.
I have one more stat, and then we'll move on to Tigers baseball specifically. According to the study for race relations things by MLB, which is the exact title of it, of course, 31.9% of opening day rosters in 2017 were Latino players. Yet wow. There's only one Latino manager, Rick Renteria, and one Latino GM, Al Avila.
I think that's
striking. Like that, I mean, 31. I mean, that's 32%. That's almost a third, and then one of each. And you know, obviously, there have been a lot that have kind of come and go, and just at we're not at a current point where that's something that's super rampant in baseball.
Right. What can you attribute that to? There's a ton of factors. We don't have time to break them all down. So baseball could certainly do more about promoting and the advancement of Latino players to the coaching and managing ranks. They're trying to do some things to help Latino players feel more comfortable. They've mandated that a translator be in every clubhouse. So they're trying to do some things, positive things, to make a more integrated culture. I think with Spanish-speaking players and Latin players, I think more could be done. I'd like to see more upper level Latin players come through.
Yeah, and I think as you have kind of this, not that some of these guys that are recently retiring are kind of your pioneer generation of Latino players, but I feel like there's some of these guys that are recently retiring are some of the more vocal, charismatic Latinos retiring. And I think that might be the generation that finally does break itself into management, into upper management. And hopefully that will bring about a change. I would like to think that there's only one Latino manager because there hasn't been a plethora of good choices, and hopefully that can change. I don't know if that's the case or not, but hopefully we can. When you have a third of your players, your third of your roster yeah. is Latino, it does help when you have some give and take there.
And I hopefully more people will see it. It's going to be a competitive advantage to have a Spanish speaking manager,
or at least coach. I mean, we obviously have Omar.
Coaches, yep.
Yeah, and that. That does help with the relations, I would say. All right, let's move on to actual baseball on our field this past week. Mikey Matuk, we love him. You love him. We all love him. Since the All-Star break, he leads our team in hits and runs, second in extra base hits behind Upton. He's hitting .358. And among all regulars this season, he has the highest batting average. Are you buying in?
I don't know. Here's a reason. Yes. He was a first round draft pick. He's always been toolsy.
The pedigree is there.
He hadn't had a ton of major league chances before he came with the Tigers. I mean, I don't know how many games he started, but it's not like he's failed for 2 or 3 years and he was some total scrub.
And it seemed like a lot of his season were derailed by injuries, too, with Tampa. Mm,
yep. So he's fast. He's built like an oxen. I mean, they were kind of giving him crap about coming into camp just too swole.
It's a problem I have a lot too.
People always say that to me too. Yeah, Eric, you're too swole. It's true. Maybe some reasons why not. He's getting a little older. He's not old, but you think he would have shown you a little bit more flashes before now. Was everybody missing on him that we got him so cheap? If this is going to be what Mikey Matuk is, did we just rob him? I'd be hesitant to say that what we've gotten in the last month is what we can bank on from Matuk from here on out.
Okay, so Matuk is 27. Dixon is 25. Yeah. He's 2 years older than Dixon Machado, a guy we all think, got to get him some playing time, find out what he has. Like, it doesn't feel like it's that big of a gap for me. I don't know. We have so much history recently with JD. Like, JD's kind of the obvious. We plucked him from, you know, relative obscurity. He was a well-thought-of prospect, just like Mikey, until he wasn't, and then we took him off the scrap heap. I like him. He plays hard, and I think one of the most impressive things about him this year is we've sucked. Like, it's been a terrible, dull season, and yet he's still put in the performances, at least since he's become a regular starter, day in and day out. We discussed how hard it must be when you know that really it doesn't matter what's going on, you know, on the field. There's not really any baseball ramifications to get it up every single night. And Mikey's done that. Like, he has apparently an extra drive. The fire burns. I feel like I'm on sports talk radio right now. But he's clearly a guy who doesn't have a problem, you know, getting it going.
Are you getting aboard the blame train for Ausmus saying, hey, he was on the roster the whole time. Why weren't you playing the Matukmeister? You know, we could have, you know, made the playoffs if we, you know, stuck Mikey out there right from the beginning. What were you thinking? You buying that?
No, I'm not buying that.
Some of that?
There is certainly a line of thinking there, and that maybe he should have. The thing is it's not necessarily that he should have been in the lineup. It's that the guys we had in the lineup shouldn't have been in the lineup. And if that's the case, maybe he does get in. I mean, look at how many times Tyler Collins was out there. We just threw away those at bats. You know, I don't necessarily have anything against Tyler as a person. He seems like a fine dude. Yes, that's the obvious exception. But we knew coming into the season what Tyler Collins was, and that is very, he's fine. Whereas we didn't have any clue as to what Mikey Moth, and I have a hard time believing that Mikey would have turned in worse performances than Tyler if you're just coming at it from completely no knowledge whatsoever. But
in spring training, there was the trilogy of Collins, Jones, and Matuk. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a clear winner in spring training, if I'm remembering. And if anything, it was Jones. Yeah. And Jones is who we went with. I mean, there's a month of spring training for a reason. Is you try to find out who you had, and the determination was Jones is probably the best bet.
And they all played a crap ton of games because the World Baseball Classic opened up so many other various holes. Like, there was definitely plenty of film, if you will, on all three guys.
Right. So it's not like they just had a blind eye and put their head down and put Matuk on the bench. Like, play up to that point kind of suggested that Matuk was your fifth outfielder.
And I'm going to tell you guys all a little secret. Come a little closer. All right. Him being in the lineup wouldn't have changed anything because we're still not a very good baseball team.
Blasphemy.
Okay. So that has been a lot of talk. So let's have a little fun. Our boy at Fleiss Dav, I'm assuming his name probably Dave, but it's shortened to Dav. He tweeted us, with the end of the Mr. I era, what is your all-time lineup and rotation from it? He shortened it to when we were good, 2006 to 2016. I thought this would be a fun experiment. We each actually came up with our full 25-man roster. So why don't we go ahead and go through this? We can talk through some of the more interesting picks. You want to just go back and forth? You want to do yours and then mine?
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
All right.
Catcher, I think, is pretty obvious, and that is Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. Any debate?
Nope, I have Pudge also. Batting eighth.
Oh, you put a lineup together.
Oh, I put a lineup together.
Okay. First base, who you got?
I went with Prince. Obviously, Miggy is in my lineup just elsewhere. As far as who produced the most in the last 10 years at first base, it's pretty well Prince Fielder. And I have him batting cleanup.
Okay, I have Cabrera at first because I do not want Cabrera at third.
In my lineup, defense is not a consideration. It is a very poor defensive team.
All right. So, yes, at second choice would be fielder at first. Yeah. All right, second base.
I went with Placido Polanco, probably one of my all-time favorite Tigers. Dude is just the prototypical number two hitter. Love him. I have him at second base, batting second.
I have Kinsler. Oh. I think Kinsler is probably more toolsy than Polanco. He's going to hit for some more power than Polanco. I think Kinsler is a more productive ball player.
Did Did Kinsler win an ALCS MVP award, though? Not yet.
Oh, you got
not
there. Yet. There. We saw Polanco at Fiesta Tigres, right?
Yeah. We gave him a standing ovation. And by that, yeah. I mean, I think we clapped for him.
Yeah. He's still got a bulging head, so we know he's healthy. That's really good. Everything's normal.
It's not small.
It's good.
All right. Shortstop.
Shortstop. This was a tough one for me. I actually had to look up some numbers and I had to think about it a little bit. But I went with Carlos Guillen.
Yes, I went with Guillen too. Another, I don't know if it's just this era, but also another one of my all-time favorite Tigers. Him staring down Jared Weaver.
I was at that game.
That incident.
Oh, it's a good game.
That incident that was such alone good. Puts him on this team. That is probably one of my favorite Tigers memories, just overall. Yeah.
That was my favorite Tiger game I've ever been at, and second most memorable, only to Galarraga. I picked again. You did too. Peralta, Johnny Peralta, would be a close second.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I have Guillen hitting ninth, which is just how good the lineup is.
Right.
Okay, third base.
I took Inge. I don't think there's a lot of choices here. There's not a lot of choices. Inge had some good years. He's going to play some really good defensive third base for you, which is more than we can say for, I don't know, who are you going to go with? Wilson Bedemy?
That's assume? A name I haven't heard in forever. I went with Miggy at third, squeeze in as many. He's batting third. I didn't have an issue with Inge. I didn't like how much people loved Inge, you know, because that's just kind of how I am.
Inge was a monument of the mid-2000s Tigers.
Yeah.
It ended messily, but I think people forget how much Inge love there really was for a while.
Oh, there was.
And he was not bad. Yeah. That gets us to what? Left field?
Left field. I went with Gary Sheffield. He didn't necessarily show a ton for us, but it's Gary freaking Sheffield. Like, he in his heyday, he was awesome.
He was good.
He was
He did
amazing.
Not make my team anywhere, but he's a second choice some places. It's for me, it's Upton. It's Justin Upton.
Yeah. I think if you extend this 3 years, Upton probably would be my pick also. He is the best player we have. He is the best player on the Detroit Tigers right now.
Yeah. Center field, I think this one is obvious.
Yeah, I went with Curtis, batting leadoff.
Curtis Granderson was the best center fielder. I don't think you can make it an argument for Austin Jackson, although Jackson gave us some good productivity in center, but Curtis Granderson was better.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe my GM apologist career started with the Curtis trade when I immediately spun it in my own mind and then to all my friends that Max Scherzer, this guy is good and he's going to be worth it. And Phil Koch, that guy can really relieve too.
Mm. Were you making an argument for Daniel Schlereth too? Really
no.
Getting on that Schlereth train?
No, I hated him immediately.
Yeah, just because right. You were loving him.
I've never been a huge fan of his father. So that was pretty much the extent of my knowledge on old Daniel.
Gotcha. Right field.
I have Mags. JD is kind of the new trendy choice. I have a spot for him on my team. But, I mean, Mags was really good, and he was so important to the rebuilding of the franchise.
Yeah, there's no question it's Maglio.
Yeah.
He won a batting title. He's great.
All right, let's move on to the bench. Oh, go ahead.
DH.
Oh, DH, yeah, Victor.
Yeah, it's got to be Victor. Honorable mention would be, like, Sheffield. Or, I suppose, Fielder, if you wanted to stash him there.
Yeah.
Backup catcher.
Backup catcher. Bench. I went with Avila. Gives you a left-handed bat off the bench.
Yep. I don't know who else you could make a case for. Laird, I suppose. But
I would make a case for Laird.
Oh. Utility or other infielder?
There's only one choice. Let's be honest. Don Stop. Kelly.
Stop it.
You cannot have a team from the 2006 to 2016 era without Don Kelly on your bench. That is absurd. That's blasphemy.
I would rather have I'm joking aside, we make a lot of jokes about utility players, but I would rather have Andrew Romine than Don Kelly.
That's true. They're both
thank you.
They're both in their roles decent, fine players. Yeah, Romine probably has more facets to his game, but Donnie's nicer.
Other options would be Ramon Santiago.
Yeah. Omar Infante.
Adam Everett. If you wanted some defense off the bench.
That's a bridge too far. Not going there.
I remember the time when Peralta was playing, and me and Lynn Henning got into a Twitter argument because he was advocating that we would be a lot better off with Adam Everett than Johnny Peralta at the time. And I was like, oh, Lynn, just go back to your porch and get another glass of Pinot Noir.
And complain about the dimensions in Comerica. Yeah.
I couldn't take it anymore. Okay, so what do we need? We need a fourth or fifth outfielder, I guess.
I went with JD. You need a big thunder bat off the bench to hit a home run off maybe, I don't know, Chris Sale. You bring JD in.
I chose Cespedes.
Oh, I forgot about Yo. That is a tough call.
I took Cespedes. He's got the bat. And he's got the big arm. He's going to play a little bit of defense for you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I took Cespedes. Rotation time?
Yeah. Oh, I took Peralta as my backup infielder. Because Donnie can play some infield. He can play some infield.
Okay, I did too.
Yeah, let's move to the rotation. I don't think there's any question at the top. It's clearly Verlander.
Yep.
Probably the best pitcher in team history. Number two, Max Scherzer. He has become unreal with the Nationals, but he was pretty freaking unreal for us for a couple of years too. I think if he'd have stayed a couple more years, he would be just as much of a club legend as Verlander. Number three, I think this is where we can divert our paths. Where'd you go at number three?
Number three, I took David Price.
Okay.
He was so good for a while, and I was so excited to get him when we had the four aces, really. 2013 was it, where he had all these guys lined up. Price for me was number three.
Yeah, I also had Price at number three. I thought we were going to be a little different there. Number four, I took Anibal. I know he hasn't been right for 2 or 3 years now, but when he was good, he was as good as it gets. And don't let the recent past color your memory of him. He was outstanding. He was when we first started the show, the big talking point was, is Anibal going to recover to what Anibal was? Because what Anibal was an AL ERA leader. And obviously he hasn't, and that's kind of sad, but Anibal was amazing. And that deal when we got him was such an absolute steal.
Yep. He was he's top five for sure. I have him as my fifth starter. But I think we're all, we have some bias because things have gotten messy so fast with him, but he was good.
All right. Who you got a four and slash five for me?
I took the gambler. I took Kenny Rogers. To me, it was pretty obvious. He won a lot of games for us.
A lot of big games too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was tempted to think about some other guys like, maybe Fulmer, Porcello, even Bonderman.
Bondo, but
for me, it was Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, I took Kenny too. I specifically thought to myself, I'm not taking Nate Robertson here.
No,
I was never.
So we
Nate
had the
Robertson.
Same starting five.
Yes.
No.
Just slightly different orders. Yeah. Okay, so
here's where it gets fun.
This is where it gets fun. I half wanted to go just wildly obscure in my bullpen, but then I was like, nope, I'm putting together the bullpen that I would actually choose. So that's kind of what I did.
All right. Who's your closer?
Justin Wilson. He's the best closer that we've had from 2006 to 2016. Everyone else eventually melted down, and that does color your judgment for them.
You may not be wrong. I did take Valverde. I took Valverde as my closer. He was one year he blew zero saves.
Yeah, one year he was perfect. He was also not very good that year. He just had incredible fortune, but he was perfect.
He was entertaining. He was fun. He got the job done quite a bit. He was more reliable than Todd Jones, which is
not saying
a ton. He lasted longer than K-Rod. Yeah, and for certainly than Joe Nathan. So Valverde is my de facto closer.
Yeah, other options were Fernando Rodney. There's really – and Benoit closed for us for a while. A lot of poor options. Okay, who you got in the eighth?
In the eighth, I'm taking Joel Zumaia.
Okay.
I think I think hindsight kind of lets us forget how – fun and exciting Joel Zumaia was. He's still in the top five. I think he was the top two or three in WAR of Tigers relievers in the last 10 years. Zumaia.
Yeah, injuries were the only thing preventing him from being, I mean, truly one of our all-time greats.
Yep.
He had the absolute stuff to do that. I have him as just a regular bullpen member. My eighth inning man, we need somebody to point at stuff. I went with Al Albuquerque. We said that Zumaia was fun when he was at his very peak. But when Al Albuquerque was at his absolute pinnacle, I don't think there was a more entertaining pitcher to watch in all of baseball. He was at one point the all-time leader in strikeouts per nine among all pitchers ever in Major League Baseball. That slider.
The slider. Oh, freaking Al Albuquerque.
All right,
he was such a maddening player to have and to watch. But when he was throwing sliders, you'd just be like, whatever, Al, I forgive you. I love you.
Yeah, how could you get mad?
You could do anything and just throw sliders. That's fine. Who else do I got? Jamie Walker.
That's a good call.
He just edged out Bobby C for me. But I got Jamie Walker. Certainly Fernando Rodney. Really good. I had Justin Wilson, who you mentioned. I think he's worthy of a spot for sure. Joaquin Benoit. I was looking at some of his numbers again. I think we underestimate him because of some singular bad moments.
Bad pitch, but,
but he was tremendous. And really the first spot that I penciled in here goes to you know who, and that is Philip Koch. Phil Koch, you laugh. Reasonable, rational argument why Phil Koch would be on this team. No one pitched more relief innings in the last decade for the Tigers than Philip Koch.
Wow. That's a surprising stat.
He was second in bullpen WAR over the last decade for us. He carried the freight for a long time. And so come at me, haters. Some big Phil Koch moments. Phil was good for us.
So this is a rabbit hole. But if he never moves to the rotation, do you think he's still on the Tigers, still an uber elite reliever?
Probably not.
I think that messed with it. I think that messed with something upstairs. Because he was unreal before that, and he was good but not great after that.
Yeah, the starting thing just never worked out, from the very beginning.
Really terrible idea.
It was good conceptually because he was so strong out of the bullpen. So strong. Like, okay, how can we leverage this really good arm?
I don't know. Use him like Andrew Miller.
Yeah, and while we needed another starter that year. Like, we were looking around. We didn't have anybody.
That was the pre-Brad Penny year, wasn't it?
Yeah, when you get old, history all gets muddled. If you say, and I'm not good with years. If you just said, 2012, and like, okay, what year was that? Now, if you refresh my memory,
one of the years we lost to the Rangers,
right?
Because that was then about five of them. All right, finishing my bullpen, I also had Phil Koch and Bobby C. But to go with Bobby C, I also had Brandon Lyon, because you can't have Bobby C without Brandon Lyon.
Because you got to have the Sea Lion.
And also, I think Lyon was only with us for 1 year, but he was really, really good that 1 year.
Sea Lion was awesome.
Yeah, that was about as good of a combo as we've had.
Yep.
I think that says a lot about the bullpens we've had, but still. And then I went for a conventional long reliever. The best I could come up with was Zach Minor. I feel like he had mixed results, but for the most part, I viewed him positively. We've had a lot.
He pitched a lot of innings. He carried a lot of freight for us.
We've had a lot of really not great long relievers.
Yeah. The only person I had in the conversation is actually Shane Green. Yeah. Now, I think he would be in that mix here pretty quickly. But I had didn't make my team, but I had Al on my honorable mention list as well.
And I think Justin Wilson probably deserves an honorable mention. He's thrown a lot of innings. I have him on my team. 4 years. Alex, not Justin.
Oh, Alex, yeah.
Yeah.
Alex has been really solid too. And it's funny because I looked up some stats here. and you look at the top 12 relief pitchers for the Tigers over the last decade, and Blaine Hardy.
I was actually curious where Blaine ranked in WAR. He has thrown a lot of innings over the last 5-6 years. Like, he has been a key part of the bullpen. Just because he's never established himself for long stretches doesn't mean he hasn't been useful.
And he gets hit at inopportune times. I don't know.
Blaine Hardy is the one guy that I will defend beyond all ration.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one guy that I will go beyond what I actually believe to defend him.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Power rankings. We spent a lot of time on this. I had a tweet today. I should probably look it up and give this person credit. But they said, Eric, would I be the only person interested in your power ranking of disc golf discs? And I said, no, I also would enjoy it. So we're going to go very quickly. My top disc golf discs. And we're just going to go right through it.
Power rankings have been super niche in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I like it.
We're going to go quick.
And if they don't, screw them.
That's right. This is part of my podcast, too. I contribute a little. All right, here we go. Number 7 is a Discraft Buzz. It's a mid-range. This is probably the most popular golf disc in the world. I find them too inconsistent among plastics and stuff. I never know how quite it's going to behave. I've had some buzzes I like and some buzzes I don't. So that's
probably,
number 7.
Probably one of the most onomatopoeic ones on your list.
Yeah. And Discraft Buzz has to have the 3 Z's. Buzz.
Ooh. I'm not comfortable otherwise, with 3 Z's. Sounds like bourgeois crap.
Number 6 is an Innova Wraith. A Wraith is a destroyer that normal mortals can actually throw. So a Wraith is number 6.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah. Number 5 is I throw a lot of Innova because that's what I know. So that's going to be on my list. Number 5 is an Innova Turn, a good distance driver for your average player. It's going to give you that little ass pattern. You can hyzer flip it if you get a little bit of a beat up one. That's my go-to like distance driver is an Innova Turn. Number 4 is the putter that I use, and that is a Dynamic Discs Judge. Innova doesn't have any nice flat putters with a bead. All their AVRs are too deep in my hand. I don't like that. Get yourself a Judge. You'll be happy with that.
Don't want it to go too deep.
That's right. Number 3 is Innova again is a Leopard. And a Leopard 3 is really what I like. This is a good first driver. It comes in a starter pack. It's going to fly like money for you. Get yourself a Leopard. It's not too high speed. It's still useful. Leopards are awesome. Number 2 for me is a rock. A rock.
Just a literal rock.
No, it is. This is. So let me tell you. A rock is a legendary bird. Because these discs are named after birds. It's R-O-C, not R-O-C-K. This is a real disc. I'm telling you, an Innova rock.
Now, does this rock also smell something cooking?
It often smells something cooking. Yeah. And, you know, it brings the people's elbow on occasion. No, a rock. The thing is, with both the Buzz and the rock, they're like trying to leverage their brand on this. So they make like 100 iterations. So there's like a Rock 3 and there's a Rock 3X. And now there's like a Buzz SS and a Buzz OS, you know, it's just they're just trying to make money.
You got
to
do what you got to do.
But yeah, my G-Star Rock 3, that's my go-to. Love that. Number one. Any guesses at all?
Stone. Wait, it's birds? I'm going to go with the pelican.
Close. No, not that close. It's a thunderbird.
Ah.
A thunderbird. That Innova Thunderbird. For me, they're so trustworthy. They give you that reliable fade, not a nice distance. You can really rip into it, and you don't got to worry about flipping it over. So you get some are a little bit more flippy than others, but Thunderbird's this number one. It's so much fun.
Boom.
I carry three of them, two or three of them.
In your pants?
I might have one in my pants right now.
At all times.
Yeah. This is getting really niche. Okay, bottom three. An Innova Nova. Paul McBeth throw these. I can't get it to go straight. It's super deep. They're trash. Don't throw a Nova. Don't buy into the hype. Number two is a Dynamic Discs Witness. You can't keep the thing in the air. It's too flippy. I hate the freaking Witness. Don't bother that. Number one, worst disc. Do you have a guess?
No, I do not.
It is a Dragon. Oh. A Dragon is, you think it's kind of clever because it floats in water. Wouldn't that be helpful if you're by a pond?
Maybe but you just try not throwing it in the water.
Precisely. Just don't throw it in the pond. Okay? An Innova Dragon only comes in 150 grams. So it makes it completely useless. It's too light. You can't keep the thing in the air. You're constantly flipping it over. Don't get a Dragon. Don't buy for the water business. It's stupid. That is my completely unrelatable and highly niche-oriented power rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Yeah, that was good.
At least I tried to do it quickly.
You did it very quickly. Yeah, definitely. We'll run quickly through what I saw on the side of the road. I saw three different empty bottles of Fireball on the side of the road today running. Different paths, too.
Do you think they're all produced by the same power Fireball drinker?
I would assume you're not going to have three random Fireball litterers in the same town. So two of them were like mini bar size, and then there was another one that was like about yay big. I don't know the cause of this, but here's the thing. If you're in Traverse City and you're drinking lots and lots of Fireballs, maybe you try throwing away your empties. Maybe don't leave them on the side of the road.
Show some responsibility.
All right. Let's do some quick Twitter questions. I've just picked out a few. If we don't get to yours this week, we'll come back to them next week. At RajCast81 asks us, in honor of back to school, you guys believe in Trapper Keepers and any baseball folders growing up? I thought that was a good one.
You know, I never did that. No, not the Trapper Keeper. I just went to the regular folders.
Were the Trapper Keepers invented when you were in school?
Oh, laugh it up, Paul. Like when I was in elementary school, Trapper Keeper were the thing to have.
Yeah, I definitely had one. I actually wasn't into baseball folders. I'm a little ashamed to admit this, but I was super big into basketball and football when I was a kid. I didn't get into baseball till like middle school. So I had a lot of the Bad Boy Pistons folders. That's where I was at. And then Grant Hill, obviously, because I grew up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Oh, rocking the teal.
At Tigers_opinions asks us, is Tim Tebow the new Donnie Kelly with his new good deeds every day? Every day, all I see is Tebow helping fans.
I don't like the Tebow thing. Tebow is just too much. Donnie at least was a little understated. Tebow is outside. It's oversized for me with Tebow.
I'd agree with that. I haven't liked him since he played football. I thought that he got too much recognition because the first year that the Gators won the national championship, he wasn't even the starting quarterback. And then everyone looks at him as a two-time national championship quarterback. He didn't. He was a backup. Chris Leak was the starter on that team. So that was the football rant you expected to hear.
Now, if you ask James McCann about his faith, if you ask Donnie Kelly about his faith, those guys are going to be eager to share with you if you ask them. Tebow was not like that. Tebow, once he scored a touchdown, he's doing his Tebowing, and he's kneeling and he's carrying on and so forth. To me, it just seems like too much of a show.
You know what Tebow and I do have in common, though? Tebow born in the Philippines. I have massive Filipino roots. So there is that.
I think you're leveraging that a little too much.
me, Bruno Mars, and Pacquiao. Let's see. Dylan Davis asks us, this is a pretty pressing one. Any hot takes on Kinsler getting thrown out by Angel Hernandez last night? Is he fed up with his team, the season, or was it just that game?
To be fair to Kinsler, Angel Hernandez is kind of a dope, isn't he?
Yes. And not good at his job, too. Like,
yeah,
either be, you know, good at your job or be able to handle people telling that you're not.
Yeah,
it's fine. One or the other.
Kinsler is kind of a hothead from time to time. But if he's going to be a hothead this time, it's understandable.
Yeah, at least it was to Angel. All right. Last one. This one comes from Nicholas Holler 3. Will we ever see a woman play in the Major League Baseball? If so, when, and who might be the first?
I'm not going to say never, but it's pretty tough, isn't it? I mean, it would have to be a really crafty lefty knuckleballer, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not disparaging women at all. It's just our physiognomy, our bodies are different, right?
So who's your candidate to be the first?
I don't know. How many women baseball players do you know?
I could name at least a handful.
Okay, let's go. I'm listening.
I'm gonna edit this part out.
Monet Davis.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's probably the one. There you go. That's who we're going with, Nick Monet.
Did you ever watch that show about the woman baseball player? Pitch. Was that the name of it?
Yeah, it was. I typically don't watch sports television shows because I have a hard time thinking beyond the, well, it probably wouldn't happen like that.
Yeah.
Like, I
know it's tough to suspend disbelief.
Yeah, I know it's super cynical, but that's just kind of where I'm at. I'd like to not be that way, but I just can't do it.
All right.
If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And once again, we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And if you do that, make it funny, make us laugh, and I'll read it out on the show next week. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the evening?
No, I don't think so. Enjoy life.
Yeah, enjoy your baseball. Maybe use these next couple months to enjoy summer in a way that you haven't before. Maybe watch a little less Tigers. Maybe listen to a little bit more Tigers podcasts. I don't know. But, you know, go
sit around a campfire.
There you go.
You know, talk with your family. Go for a walk. Look at some leaves.
Get
or
yourself
something.
Some sweet corn. Roast that crap up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grill some vegetables.
And yeah, don't do that. Grow some meat. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye. Or adios, I should say.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.